Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey. Our Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah that was discussing the different times of until when you can eat the chametz and when you have to burn the chametz. And here it's discussing that in the times of Beis HaMikdash, they used to have a unique siman to remind people about the times. Va'od Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says furthermore, Shtei chalos shel toda, the two chalos of the toda. When a person would bring a carbon toda, so they'd bring two chalos, two lechems, two breads, along with the carbon toda that was chametz. So, pisulos, what happens if these two chalos became pasul, became nullified? We'll explain in a moment how they became pasul. Then, munachos al gag ha-itztava, they would place it on the roof of the itztava in the Har HaBayis. The itztava was like some kind of porch of made out of pillars, and it was located in the Har HaBayis. And they put their breads on top of it in order that the people should see the breads as a siman. So, kol zman shemunachos, as long as those two chalos were there on the roof, kol ha-moch, and everyone can eat the chametz. But nitla achas, if one of the chalos were taken, when at the beginning of the fifth hour, so a messenger would come and take the chala, so then tolan, then we know it's the beginning of the fifth hour, according to Yehuda, it's a Suffolk area, and you just, you know, don't eat and you don't burn your bread. La-och and lo-sofen, you don't eat, you don't burn. And if both the chalos were taken, when was that? When would that be? That would be the beginning of the sixth hour. So now they know it's chilu kol ha'am sarfen, and everyone begins to burn their chalos. So the times are the same as we mentioned in the previous Mishnah. It's just giving you a siman now. When they would remove one loaf, you knew it was the beginning of the fifth hour to just leave the bread there, don't eat it, and don't burn it. And when they removed both loaves, it was a siman that's the beginning of the sixth hour, and now you burn the challah. And it was a nice siman that they used to do in the times of Beis HaMikdash to tell people about the, you know, what time to do what. The gomer and chametz, yeah, and then they would complete the burning of the chametz, you know, with tochasha within the sixth hour, of course. Okay, so the Kahati explains binyan achalos during with this concept of the chalos of the carbon toda. The Gemara explains that whoever was obligated to bring a carbon toda, he actually bring himavia shlosha aser benisan. He bring on the 13th day of Nisan, because they would bring along with the carbon toda 40 chalos, 30 of them were matzah. 10 of them were chametz, and the carbon toda and the chalos had to be eaten during the day and then the following night, and that was it. So if they brought on the 14th day of Nisan, then all the chametz wouldn't be eaten until they'd only have enough time to eat the chametz until the sixth hour, and we don't want to minimize the amount that you could eat kachim, right? We don't want to shorten the lifetime of kachim. So what they would do, because if we did that, then automatically there'd be leftovers. Leftovers would lead to noser. Noser is not something that you want to do, because it's you leave over kachem, you have to burn it. So therefore, whoever had to bring a carbon toda would bring it, you know, a day earlier. They'd bring it on the 13th day of Nisan. And then therefore they had the whole day and the whole night to eat it. But even so, since there were so many breads, right, the Kahanim still didn't have enough time to eat all the breads. And at the end of the day, they'd leave over some that did become pasul as a noser. It's not the ideal. You don't want to create noser. Noser is leftovers. It's prohibited to be eaten, right? But, you know, if they had no choice, they had no choice. So even when they did it on the 13th day of Nisan, there was a little bit of leftovers. The leftovers is prohibited to be eaten. And that was these chalos psulos. They became pasul because they became noser when they were left over on the 13th day from eating all the chalos. And they put it on the roof, you know, on the 14th day of Nisan the following day to serve as the siman that we just discussed. And that's the concept. Yeah. Rabbi Gamliel says, Chulin, ne'echalam kol arba. So he says just a side thing that chulin, any kind of chametz, which is just non-sacred, standard chametz, it's not truma or anything, it could be eaten on Erev Pesach up until the fourth hour, utruma kol chamesh, and then truma is eaten, could be eaten even during the fifth hour, because you cannot be mafsa truma with your hands, meaning if you're technically able to eat it, then you should be eating it. You shouldn't be not eating it because it's truma. So if it's sarfan b'chilash, then the burning would take place, even the chametz of the truma at the beginning of the sixth hour. And, halacham asu es chametz, right. So, because since at that time, since at the beginning of the sixth hour, chametz is prohibited by Anah, so then you even burn, you know, the chuma of chametz. And this is just a different opinion than Rabbi Yehuda regarding, you know, when and when you can eat and when you have to burn the chametz. We don't pass like this opinion, but it's another opinion that's brought down It starts discussing chulin bread, non-sacred, and truman, sacred bread, and gives the specific times for eating and for burning. And that wraps up Mishnah Hay. And just to just see the two shitas, so just, you know, just for clarity, Rabbi Yehuda held, you eat the chametz the fourth hour, you leave it hanging, right, the whole fifth hour, then you burn it beginning of the sixth hour. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel is saying that chulin, non-sacred, is eaten during the fourth hour, but truma could even be eaten in the fifth hour, where Rabbi Yehuda said that you can't be eating truma in the fifth hour. Then in the sixth hour, they both agree that you burn it then. So they're really just arguing over the fifth hour, where Rabbi Yehuda says you can't eat anything, and Rabbi Gamliel would say you could eat specifically truma during the fifth hour. So that's their point of contention. That's where the machlokas is. But we don't pasuk like Rabbi Gamliel anyway. Okay. Mishnah Vav, Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina, who was a Skana Kohanim, he was like the vice Kohen. He was a vice Kohen to the Kohen Gadol. He would sometimes, you know, fill in for the Kohen Gadol. So he would say, Omer, he would say, Mimeim Shal Kohanim, the days of the Kohanim, Kol Yomai, all the days that he worked in the base of Mikdash, Lenimnu HaKohanim, Melissa Vasabasa, the Kohanim would never held back from burning the meat, the Basar, the Kodesh from the Karbanos. Shenitma b'vlad ha-tuma, that became tame from the vlad ha-tuma. I mean, the Gemara explains that we're talking about meat that became tame. Shenitma b'sheni l'tuma, it came tame from a secondary of tuma. So meaning, now it became a third to tuma, because it comes from a secondary, so it touched a secondary level of tuma, so now it became a third level of tuma. So then they never held back from burning this meat together. Ima basa shenitma b'ava tuma, together with meat that was tame on an ava tuma, meaning on a rishon, on a first level of tuma. Ava pi shemusifin tuma al tumaso, even though you're adding one tuma on the other, because one tuma is a first level, the other tuma, piece of meat is on a tuma level of a rishon, of a first, because it touched a primary, so now it became a first. One touched a secondary and became a third. So they'd burn the two meats together. When they touch each other, you're adding more tuma to one another, meaning the rishon, the first, is adding more tuma to the third. It's the first degree, it's not just the third degree. So even so, they weren't concerned, and you could, you know, burn them together, even though you're going to be adding more tuma from the first to the third, it wasn't a concern, you could burn them together. And the truth is, this Mishnah really has to do with the following Mishnah, so stay tuned for Sunday's Mishnah to see, you know, where this is all coming from. But let's just first get, you know, what this Mishnah is saying to understand these concepts. So to recap, you have meat that touched a first level of, meat that touched a second level of tuma that became a third level, and then meat that touched an ava primary that became a rishon. So even though when the rishon is being burned together with the shlishi, with the third, right, the first is being burnt with the first is going to make the third into a second degree now, it's raising the bar, it's not a problem because they're being burnt anyway. You can't burn tame meat with tahar meat, because they're making pure meat totally tame. But if one's tame and the other one, if both of them are tame, it doesn't matter which degrees each are. If one's adding to the other, like in this case, then it's not a problem. We're not concerned. Host of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva adds on the words of Rabbi Chanina, the skan of the Kohanim. Remember, he says, "Bimeim shal Kohanim, the days of the Kohanim, l'dimnu milahada because Hashem shenifsal betful yom." They never withheld. They never held back from lighting, from burning oil that became tummy from. That became tummy from a tful yom. A tful yom is a person who went to the mikvah, but he's not going to be tahar. He's not going to be pure until that evening. So anything he touches during the day technically makes a tummy. So this oil became tummy, right? And they were going to burn this oil. So they explained that a tful yom, like we said, is that someone who's tamei, that dipped in the mikvah, but he's not going to be tar until the evening. So he's like a sheni, a secondary to tuma. So when he touches the oil of truma, he makes it into a shlishi, a third of truma. And shemen of truma, oil of truma that became tamei, is permitted bahana, it's permitted to have pleasure with it. So the kahanim would burn it together, but ner, with a flame, shenitma b'tamei meis, that became tamei from a tamei meis. The Gemara explains that we're talking about a ner that's made out of metal, like a menorah made out of metal. And the halacha is that a utensil which is made out of metal that touches a dead corpse, it becomes an avi avo. It becomes the highest level of tumah. So it's like the dead body itself. Ukshinaga b'tamei meis, yes, so it becomes an ava tumah. So it comes out that the ner that became tamei from the tamei meis is an av. It makes the shemen that was tamei from the tul yom that was really a shlishi, a third, it makes it now into a first. Raises the bar from a third to a first. So even though one nair is a primary and the other nair was a third, and now when it touches the primary, it becomes a first, they would burn it together. Af bishem musif and tumah tumaso. Even though you're adding tumah on the tumah, as long as you're not adding tumah to tahara, it was okay and you could burn them together. And what Rabbi Akiva was adding to the words of Rabbi Chanina was discussing a case of meat that was kodesh, that was a beginning was a shlishi, it was a third. And then it became into a second when it touched the first. And Rabbi Akiva is saying that even oil that's a third, and then it touched an av, a primary, and became a first, even so there's no problem because you're just burning tumah together with tumah, and there's no problem of adding tumah to tumah. Stay tuned, we're going to give a brief introduction to the laws of tumah to understand better these concepts in a bonus shiur. Following this shiur, it'll be a couple of minutes just discussing how these concepts of tumah work so you can understand Mishnah Vav a bit better. And that concludes Mishnah Vav.